Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I talking through the phasic dieting method, getting back into the phasic dieting method series. And we're getting into part two today, which is going to be developing a 12-month phasic diet roadmap to transform your physique. So to get into it, first, I think we need to, if you didn't listen to part one from last week, I would definitely recommend going back and listening to that. But just as a quick recap, really, this series is about the phasic approach to nutrition that we use with all the clients we work with. And really, that phasic approach is about strategically cycling through different nutritional phases to align with your body's changing needs and goals. And each phase targets specific objectives, such as building muscle, losing fat, improving health markers, or maintaining body composition by adjusting things like macros, calorie intake, meal timing, training, and more. And again, this yields a much better result than the approach that people typically take, which is I stay in one phase for an extremely long period of time, be that a fat loss phase or otherwise. Again, it's still important to remember that your body is an adaptation machine. So staying in any one phase for too long, for example, fat loss is the most common example of this, can lead to negative adaptations that slow your progress. Whereas these phases work synergistically to keep your body in the healthiest and most responsive state possible for the quickest progress in the long term. Right. So really, again, a huge, like one of the core components of the way we coach and why our clients are able to get such incredible results. But it really isn't a concept that people are very aware of. So really, this series is just about talking through kind of how we apply it, these different phases, and actually walking you through kind of an example client journey and how we might go about approaching an entire year of really making all these phases work together. Because I think this is something that can be very kind of daunting to figure out when you just have like a general information about the phases. So I think actually walking through a client journey will be extremely helpful here. So on today's episode, we'll be laying out an outline of a common client journey for one of the most common clients we work with. So I would say, let's say a female client, probably 30 to 50 years old, already probably very mindful of her nutrition, focusing on food quality, focusing on protein. She's consistently in the gym and feels like she works hard, but doesn't feel like she looks like she lifts. It's probably also relatively lean, but doesn't have the shape or muscle definition that she wants, and has probably spent at least the last few years primarily trying to diet. So again, that's kind of the avatar we'll be basing most of this conversation around. Again, it's probably relevant to a lot of our listeners. I think that almost every like new client that comes on board, one of the most common things I hear is, I feel like I spend so much time in the gym, but I still don't feel like I look like I lift or I look like someone who trains as much as I do. But again, really making this more specific to that avatar, working through a high level overview of each of the phases, an explanation of why we've laid things out this way. And then there will also be a resource for you, the listener, to really kind of make all of this click. So basically, again, we're going to walk through kind of what this journey could look like. And then in the subsequent episodes, we'll do a little bit deeper dive still into each of those phases individually. But also there will be a resource. You can click the link in the show notes, or you can DM either Andrea or myself if you would like that. That'll really kind of talk you through the roadmap we've laid here and kind of the decision-making process to decide like how to go about implementing these phases. But before we get into it, anything else that you would like to add, Andrea?
Even us as coaches, this is kind of where we started to, like, I'm working so hard in the gym. I'm not looking like it though. Like, I know that I started,
that's where I'm basically at right now. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm jacked.
Go on. I feel like that a lot too. No, like just, I'm going to tighten up my nutrition, or I'm going to just spend the foreseeable future eating as little as I can without really having a goal outside of just let's eat as little as possible. And right. Obviously that didn't lead to great results. And it wasn't until I was actually going through different phases that I started to make forward progress. So I just think that this is going to be really helpful for anyone that feels like they're in that position.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get into it. So first, this journey is really going to start with our initial conversations with the client, right? Our initial call, their initial call with whoever you end up working with as a coach, working through your questionnaire, your like, blood work and things of that nature, and really getting a good idea of where you're at. This is the most important, not the most important aspect, but this is a very important aspect when it comes to starting you off on the right foot. So I really first want to talk through important details we're looking for in the client's intake and initial calls to determine what these phases could look like. Now, this isn't everything we talk about in the calls and the questionnaire, et cetera, but a few of the most important things that I think really stand out. First, what are this person's physique goals? So in the case of, again, we're going to really be like gearing this towards this specific client avatar. What should we call this person? Throw a name out there.
Oh, well, no, because I'm obviously going to say one of my clients' names. I don't want to, let's say Angie.
Angie. Okay, perfect. So Angie, again, kind of that client avatar that I discussed before. So probably female, 30 to 50, already mindful of her nutrition, consistent in the gym, feels like she's working hard, but doesn't look like she lifts, has spent a lot of at least the last few years trying to diet and get leaner. So first, what are this individual's physique goals? We want to get clear on that. In this case, it's typically a combination of I want to build muscle and lose fat. So from there, then we're able to dig into their background, biofeedback, current health, et cetera, to determine which of these goals makes the most sense to push for first. Again, this idea that your body is an adaptation machine and the phases are really there to prime you to make quicker progress in future phases towards each of these goals, we also need to look at, okay, which of these makes more sense for us to push for? And which of these are we like, we need to spend a lot of time priming for before we can really do productively. So build muscle, lose fat, again, are primarily this individual's goals. And again, in this case, hey, since they spent a long time focusing on fat loss, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but probably would make more sense for us to focus on the other direction first. Now, it's also super important to remember here that a healthy body is a responsive body. So again, we're looking for the bottlenecks we need to address, usually with a different phase to get you to your goals quicker. From there, their diet history, and feel free to jump in here whenever you have anything to add as well. What's their diet history and current reported intake? So things like how responsive was their body to fat loss in the recent past? So again, Angie, you've been dieting for quite a while. Like, how'd that go? What was your progress like in that phase? And in this case, let's say it was not very good, right? So like from your perspective, Andrea, what would you say this would indicate about what do we need to address? Like what the next phase could potentially be?
So I would also in that case, dig into how consistent they had been with their tracking and what their weekends look like, because that could go one of two ways. There's a lot of times where someone will say, yeah, my body just hadn't been that responsive in fat loss, and we can get them into fat loss and things move very well.
Yeah.
If their tracking hadn't been all that consistent, then they were just eating more than they realized. And that's a really common thing. It often will still start with a primer phase, and that primer really helps to see, because someone might not really even know that they hadn't been tracking super consistently. Maybe they felt like everything was really on point. But if we start in that primer phase at around where they said that they've been maintaining and they start dropping weight, that's a really good sign that, okay, we can just continue on in a fat loss phase.
Yeah.
So that primer phase really helps clear up a lot for me, because if we do start there and they don't drop weight, then that tells us that we need to start there or hold there for a while and potentially start to build their calories up and focus on whatever is needed there in order to get their body into a more responsive place for fat loss down the road.
Yeah, no, that's such good insight where typically, no matter what, we're probably like, if this is the case, we probably don't want to start in fat loss. And again, sometimes we'll see like, hey, you're actually able to be more consistent with us aiming for higher calorie targets, and suddenly we're losing. Or as you said, nothing happens. And hey, that's a good sign. There are probably other things that we need to address, be it like underlying thyroid or hormonal issues, or we just need to spend more time feeding you up or whatever it may be. We're also looking at how long were they dieting or attempting to diet. So in this case, again, hey, Angie was trying to diet for quite a while. Which I would say as well is typically, even from a first, we know there's going to typically be like when someone's been dieting for a long period of time, even if it's again like that 4 or 5 days a week I'm dieting, then 2 to 3 days a week I fall off, there's still going to be negative metabolic adaptations, negative hormonal adaptations that happen with that. So we'll probably want to take some time away from the diet just due to that. But also psychologically, that person just oftentimes has a lot of diet fatigue, and oftentimes will do so much better with time away from the diet. They've also probably struggled to build as much muscle if they have consistently been dieting. And I'm just going to keep going unless you want to jump in with anything here. Okay. What was the reported macro and micro intake? So in this case, this is largely, again, just, hey, we have clients give us access to their food logs. We dig into there, look at what that looks like, or if they haven't been tracking, we want to see a couple of days of your food logs and kind of talk us through what a typical day, a couple of days of the week look like for you. But in this case, she reported very low calories 4 to 5 days a week. And looking through her nutrition, our micronutrient density wasn't in the best place, right? So getting deeper into, again, the vitamins and minerals and things that we need to really support a healthy body, oftentimes there are a decent amount of gaps that we need to fill to better support sex hormones, thyroid, and things of that nature as well. But similarly, this almost goes hand in hand with the, like, how responsive was their body to fat loss in the recent past, right? Where, hey, I'm eating very low calories 4 to 5 days a week, but nothing's happening. Again, it's almost always, okay, let's start on a primer. And either A, what we see is suddenly you're losing, or B, nothing's happening in either way. Again, like, that kind of gives us the next direction. How are you doing fueling yourself around your training? Now, in this client's situation, again, almost always it's, hey, get up super early, I train fasted. Now, within that, again, that is going to have a negative impact for, or it'll be less optimal, I should say, not negative, but less optimal. From a couple of perspectives, we won't be as well fueled going into the training session. We won't be able to perform as well or push as hard, which will be detrimental to muscle growth. We will also not be as in an optimal anabolic state to recover. I don't know. Those would really be the most important things that would be focused on in this regard. Like, nutrient partitioning will be better for prioritizing calories around that as well. But that is going to be an important aspect of, if that side of things is missing, hey, there's probably a decent amount of progress we can make in the muscle growth side of things as well. Because I'm guessing if that's missing, then there's a whole cascade of things we can improve with the training side of things, how you're fueling yourself, and really see much better gains there as well. Next, we're really looking at, what's their current body composition like? So really, how lean are you currently? So in this client's case, she's probably going to be relatively lean, but not to the extent where it's like, wow, we are just shredded. We're at an unhealthy level of lean. Again, it's typically pretty lean, but we're not ripped. So again, really what this typically tells us is, okay, from here, we're not so lean that we need to, like, gain body fat to build muscle. Typically, hey, we're in a pretty good position to see recomp, if this is indeed the case. And also, how much muscle do they have? And again, in this case, it's, hey, there's some muscle. We built some muscle in all your time training, but there's definitely still a lot of gains left on the table, right? It's by no means like, do I think we are close to maximizing your natural potential? There's typically a lot left on the table still. And again, this typically indicates to us, hey, this person probably is someone who can see a pretty impressive recomp, right? Because the less muscle we have, the easier it is going to be for us to gain more muscle tissue. So again, unless you're starting in a place where it's like, well, we're pretty jacked already, again, then that recomp is less likely. But in this case, it's probably a good amount of muscle tissue we can still add. And then from a biofeedback perspective, we're looking at things like, what's your menstrual cycle like? So I would say, a lot of times, in this client's, like, speaking to, like, Angie or client avatar, maybe it's, hey, having an irregular cycle, or maybe I'm experiencing lots of, like, PMS symptoms, right? And I really like the, in the book, The Period Repair Manual, where she kind of frames your menstrual cycle as kind of your monthly health report card, right? Where it does really tell us a lot about where your sex hormones are at. So if that isn't in the best place, first, you're just not going to feel your best. But also, we're probably not going to be in the most optimal position to add more muscle tissue and really, like, see the physique changes you want. So probably things that we would want to address. What's your digestion like? What do you say, like, with clients? I feel like digestive issues are very, very common with new clients. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that more people skew toward constipation.
I would agree.
And really, all of these biofeedback things play into each other so much. So if we can get the basic habits down consistently, so often it's going to trickle to all of these things and improve pretty much all of them across the board. And if just those basic habits don't improve all of these across the board, then the next thing I like to pick on is sleep. Because then if we can improve sleep, all of these other things tend to improve. But yeah, digestion for sure, really, really common. And I think that part of that is chronic underfueling. So under eating through the weekdays, probably overeating or consuming more alcohol through the weekends. Part of that is we see a lot of under eating micronutrients. And so that leads to underactive thyroid, which leads to constipation. And then part of it is like volume eating, overeating fiber, overeating the fiber added foods, like those kind of things that tends to fuel constipation too. And then I also think that a lot of people just aren't hydrating very well. And that's a combination of getting plenty of water and also salting foods, because salt is going to be really helpful in making sure that our digestion is consistent too.
Absolutely. And again, if that's an issue, hey, we definitely want to address that. As you said, it does like downstream. It can both have negative downstream effects. Even again, we're talking about things like estrogen dominance, for example, it's going to be more likely, but also a lot of times like your digestion not being in a very good place, as you said, it's a sign of like your thyroid might be underactive. And I wouldn't go there first. That kind of like jumped to the, like one of the last things I would go to there. So I don't want to make this like that. I don't want this to be like a fear mongering type podcast where a lot of times it's a sign that, again, there's something upstream that's an issue. And it could be, yes, something like that. But a lot of times it's, hey, we're not giving your body the enough water, right? We're not giving it the amount of water that it needs, or enough fiber, or too much fiber, et cetera, or the right micronutrients. So it's very telling there. Hunger is another one we're looking at. Would you say it's more common that you have clients who are in this place where it's like, I've been trying to diet and I'm extremely hungry, or I'm just trying to diet and there's no hunger?
So to be honest, I think that unless someone is a very specific type of person, if their hunger has been high, they're probably just going off of their diet plan. And so I honestly see more low hunger than I do high hunger, but I think that's only because if hunger is really high, we're probably just eating more a lot of times.
Yeah. If it was like this case where it's like, hey, hunger is low, but I'm not seeing the body composition changes I'd expect, like what would that like tell you anything? What would that kind of like, that tells me maybe this or this is an issue.
This one to me seems a little bit inconsistent.
I agree with that. That's why I gave it to you, because I didn't have a good answer.
there have been a handful of clients where it's like, yeah, I'm just never hungry. And then I get things really consistent with their diet and we get into a fat loss phase and things are just fine. There's also been a few where there are some underlying health things that we need to improve. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is like, we're just not like, maybe it is, again, I don't want to do the fear mongering thing either, but maybe it is like a low thyroid issue, or maybe it's that you just haven't been eating enough on a consistent basis. Like I said, through the week, most of the time, where the weekends are usually different. But that down regulates hunger. And maybe it's that this person has dieted for consecutive years, like, or they've been trying to diet for a really long period of time, and they've just really messed up their leptin and ghrelin numbers. So it's kind of all over the board, I feel like, with the hunger being low. But usually if we get them really consistent with meal timing and the appropriate amount of food volume, then that tends to correct itself and we see the body respond favorably.
Yeah. I think that's an incredible explanation. Energy levels, again, typically for this client, pretty low, especially like in the latter half of the day. Now, I also think there's an element of, it's pretty normal to be tired, like in the evenings, if you're someone who wakes up early and pushes yourself hard. That's something that I've like really tried to be okay with accepting myself, where like, hey, it's okay. And honestly, that's needed oftentimes to get good sleep. And I think like, at least for me, when I like haven't been accepting of that, that's when it's Inigo's just going crazy today also. When I haven't been accepting of that, I think a lot of times that's when people are like, I need more coffee, or like, I need more stimulants to like change this. And then the sleep is jacked up. So I think that it's like, there is an element of, we probably need to just be okay with accepting that like later in the day, it's normal for us to be a little bit more tired. But if it's like a consistent issue, which for like this client avatar, or a lot of times it is, Again, it can really speak to, are we fueling you well? Are we recovering well from your training? Is your sleep what it needs to be? And it, like the sleep, all these things, again, like pointing to sleep, for example, that is such an important part of your overall health, like hormone production, building muscle, fat oxidation. So much of that happens when we sleep. If our sleep isn't in a good place, our body composition and our response to things is going to be much worse as well. So it really tells us micronutrient intake. It really can, I mean, from, again, thyroid, it's can point us in so many directions here. So again, if it's typically pretty low, hey, that's for sure something we're going to want to address before we get into fat loss again. And then sleep. I already kind of mentioned why that's important. But again, typically for this client, it's like, it's not great. And again, a lot of times with lifestyle things, stress management. I would say sleep is one that is almost exclusively like a lifestyle rather than a, it's very rare that sleep is like a, hey, you have this underlying, unless you're like in menopause or perimenopause, but it's like a hormonal issue or thyroid issue, et cetera. It's oftentimes, again, oftentimes it is like one of the root causes of all those things we're discussing, but it is very much like a lifestyle thing we need to address with typically focusing on stress management, focusing on your stimulant intake and things of that nature. Anything else to add there?
Stimulant intake is exactly what I was getting ready to say. I've had so many people lately where I've challenged them to just switch to decaf after like 10 or 11. And all of a sudden their energy is improved. And it's because now we're not disrupting sleep. And then we sleep better. And then the next day you feel better. It's like the band-aid that you're using for your energy is also the thing creating worse energy. So that one's huge.
I was just having that exact same conversation actually with my client Lexi, because that's been, I feel like I've been talking about this on the podcast for like 2 years, because I've been on like such a long, like gradually like reducing my like caffeine intake more and more. But the like how crazy it is to like realize, oh wow, when I don't have like that normal 200 to 300 milligrams of caffeine at like 11 a.m. to noon, then I don't like feel like 2 to 3 p.m. I like crash as hard. Like it has been really eye-opening to see like the less I reduce caffeine, actually like the more consistent my energy is. And oftentimes it's like you need more because you're doing more. I don't know. And then similarly, when it's like you just have it like first thing in the morning, or maybe like a very small amount, like closer to like 10 or 11 and like mostly just first thing in the morning, like how much better your sleep is. And again, that like makes things so much more, your energy is just better. And it's like, it can either be like, I feel like a very positive cycle or a vicious cycle. If you're like using a lot, then you continue to need to like make up for the way you're using it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, anything else to add there before we dig into kind of what this path could look like for this client?
No, let's do it.
Oh, I would say then finally, recent lab work would be an important one. If we have that, we would want to dig into, again, blood work. What does that look like? Anything we see that we need to address there? And then recent training, especially their exercise selection. So like I would say in this client's case, again, if there's a lot of like, I train hard at the gym, but I still don't feel like I look like lift. A lot of times that is, especially my lower body, I have trouble developing and growing and changing that. Typically, this person is doing a lot of barbell dumbbell movements. So think like a barbell back squat, barbell deadlift, dumbbell walking lunges. And a lot of times there are movements where the limiting factor that causes us to fail the set isn't actually the tissue that we were trying to grow and challenge. So there's typically someone's exercise selection, and also like us seeing that first week or two, what their training intensity looks like. That'll sometimes be something that needs to improve a lot as well. But almost always, like just by hearing what someone's program looks like, I can identify like you've had trouble progressing your lower body. Our primary lower body movements are barbell back squats, dumbbell walking lunges, and maybe like some step ups. Oh yeah, like we can, I'm very confident we can just improve this. And not that those are bad necessarily, but oftentimes there'll be better options for building muscle. Oftentimes right away, it's like, oh yeah, there's like a lot we can improve here right away and add a good amount of tissue. So let's get into the common path for this client. So again, we're going to kind of lay out a high level overview here of what this could look like. And then in the subsequent episodes, we will dive into much more detail on each of these phases individually. Now, keep in mind, these phases are never set in stone, right? So we're going to be talking through phase by phase what this could look like and give a time frame. But that is so dependent on the individual. Not everyone starts in a primer phase. Not everyone starts in a fat loss phase, etc. It's very much dependent on you as a client. All right. So phase one could be a health phase slash primer phase. In this client's case, I think we'd really probably start in a primer phase where, let's say this is going to last, I think, about 6 to 8 weeks. And again, it is very hard to, like, we'll like to lay out a timeline for clients when they get started, as far as like, hey, here's what I'm thinking your phases will look like. But we always have the disclaimer, none of this is set in stone, because we can't predict exactly how your body will respond. But let's say we're going to spend 6 to 8 weeks in our primer phase. That's going to be our first phase. Really here, we're focused on health, habits, and hormones. So again, the main idea here is a healthy body is a responsive body. We're priming your body for the quickest fat loss and muscle growth in future phases. And this phase is about addressing the physiological and psychological barriers to your progress. We're also transitioning your body oftentimes into a state of higher energy flux to allow you to eat more food in any given phase. We'll maintain a great body composition. So oftentimes, simply meaning like, hey, we're kind of in this place where we're eat more, move more, depending on the client. If you're in a place where it's like, hey, I'm pretty sedentary, I'm not moving a lot, focusing on how can we slowly ramp that up and ramp food intake up as well. But almost always we are focusing on driving food up here. And again, very much like we mentioned, like if you've been trying for fat loss, hey, we're around maintenance and seeing how you respond in that place. Now, really, I think we'd probably start here. The key things we'd want to address in this phase with this avatar client would be that history of not being responsive in a fat loss phase, loss of time dieting, low micronutrient density diet, low reported calorie intake, menstrual cycle irregularities or PMS, a lot of PMS symptoms, low energy levels, poor sleep, and again, anything we saw in the recent labs. Really, again, like those would be some of the biggest bottlenecks to this person's progress that we will make sure we're addressing. So we're starting in this phase to address those things. And similarly, just jump in whenever you would like. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep rocking.
I'd say this is also where we are having people start with a meal plan oftentimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just because that's going to correct like the micronutrient, the timing of your meals, make sure that macros are dialed in. Like it takes care of all of the variables. And then from there, when we get more flexible, it's riffing off of that initial thing where everything is controlled.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself has been so helpful for people to really, I think that it's so easy to just creep into worse and worse habits with food, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden your entire day looks like IFYM,
yeah.
or you just don't have a plan for your food going into the day. And so if we can just sort of do a hard reset there, then it reestablishes some really good habits, and then we can get more flexible off of that and maintain the good habits. And that Absolutely. Will improve so many of the things that we need to see quickly in the primer phase. And that can move us on to the next phases more quickly.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely dig into, like, in the future episodes, more of the specifics around like, hey, and yeah. this typically when we implement this and this. So again, if you feel like this is like these aren't going to be very in depth. I just want to kind of break down, but don't worry, like as the listener, we will dig a lot deeper into like a lot more of the X's and O's of these different tools and strategies we use in each phase as we get a little bit deeper. I would also like to apologize for everyone that I used the phrase keep rocking just a moment ago. I said that and I was immediately like, damn, I really wish I had never heard myself say that. Phase two, probably be a body recomposition phase. And this is going to be about 8 to 12 weeks. Now here, our focus is really on getting you well-fueled, training hard, and really seeing your physique change a lot. In this phase, you'll discover how quickly your body can change and how great you can feel when you're focused on fueling yourself optimally. Now, the number one goal here is to continue to improve those factors we were focusing on in the primer phase. So we're not going to be, it's very likely we're not in a deficit yet. We're probably, now we may have like, hey, maybe again, we're seeing you lose a bit of fat at that like estimated maintenance intake. We're very likely, though, just seeing a pretty solid body recomposition here without really pushing for fat loss. Again, keeping the client right on maintenance, fueling them well. And as we improve the way you're fueling yourself, as you get into a healthier and healthier place, you're training hard, we're going to be able to build a lot more muscle. We're improving your training. And this really, again, creates large shifts in the shape of your physique. Again, we're probably not dieting yet. In fact, we're likely pushing calories up through this phase as well. But your physique will appear leaner as the phase goes on. Again, some people are oftentimes dramatically underestimating their calorie intake and we lose fat just because of that. But also just we're maintaining body fat, building muscle. We're still going to look a good amount leaner. Again, one of the most common things we see for the clients we coach is, hey, adding 5 pounds of muscle to your frame is going to change your physique a lot more than losing 5 pounds of fat. So really pulling that muscle building lever for body composition change here rather than the fat loss lever. And a few of the key things we wanted to address in this phase with this client would be really just largely continuing to build on what we did last phase. So continuing to improve biofeedback, continue to ramp up the calories, really focusing on nailing down that peri-workout fueling, make sure the exercise selection, which we would address in that first phase as well, but also the intensity. Oftentimes the analyst was like, hey, we're in a healthy place. We're first, like that first phase, we're just getting good quality movement down from you. And now we're really focusing on pushing the intensity as well and adding muscle tissue. Now, the next phase from here, phase three, would likely be a fat loss phase. So keep in mind here again, with this example timeline, we still spent something like 14 to 20 weeks not in fat loss, focusing on eating more food, maintaining well. But if someone is willing to, and that can be a hard pill to swallow, but if you are willing to do that and you have come from a place where you've constantly been chasing fat loss, we get so much better of an outcome versus it's like, no, I refuse to do anything except for hop right back into a diet. If you're willing to be patient there, you'll have already built so much more muscle, put yourself in so much healthier of a position that we always see better results in the fat loss phase when it does come around. So again, probably about 12 to 16 weeks of the fat loss phase here. Now here, the goal is, of course, to get lean and uncover new shape and definition. Now in this phase, you'll see the fastest physique changes yet, thanks to all the work you put into the previous phases and our emphasis on fueling and building muscle from the previous phases that continues here. But that also allows us to uncover a lot of new muscle shape and definition that you've never seen before as you get leaner. But again, we lose fat quicker than we build muscle. So very realistic to lose a pound or more of fat per week. So you'll see your body change very quickly. And again, start to uncover all these new gains you've already made and are continuing to make in this phase. Now really here, our focus on optimizing your health and food intake over the last two phases means your body's responsive to fat loss and you're actually able to see yourself get leaner every week. And by the end of the phase, you really start to see the fruits of your labor reflected in the mirror. So again, here, you should still very much be capable of building muscle in this phase, right? We're not to the point where we can't see body recomposition anymore. Primary lever we're still pulling here is fat loss. I would say it's almost like we're kind of pulling that fat loss and muscle growth lever at the same time in this phase to change your physique, because really both are happening. So really here, we should still be recomping and we should see maintaining training performance and progressing the logbook. But we should also see you losing fat. And in this phase, we'll probably be more focused on measurements and physique shots over scale weight. Again, because the client probably is seeing some body recomposition here, we're definitely going to be building some muscle in this phase as well. We might not see the scale drop crazy quickly, but we will see big changes in your physique shots, how you're fitting in clothes, etc. And also, we're still focusing on maintaining your most important biofeedback markers to a realistic degree, right? This isn't a phase where we're pushing to necessarily get shredded yet. Most of the time, it's a sustainable level of leanness, but we're not pushing things to like a lot of times your ultimate fat loss goal yet. Now, from here, moving into phase four, after about 12 to 16 weeks of dieting, we're going to move into a reverse diet phase, which will probably last about 6 to 8 weeks. Now here, we're focusing on establishing a new body fat settling point, upregulating metabolism and hormones, and lean building. So building some new muscle tissue while maintaining this level of leanness. So really in this phase, we're cementing this new leaner physique as your body's new quote unquote settling point. We don't just want you to feel great for a few weeks. We want you to be able to maintain your results long-term. That is so important. Again, this practicing the skill of maintenance is a lot of people are good at fat loss, but really struggle with maintaining. Once we've made a good dent in your fat loss, we want to make sure that, hey, we're able to maintain this as your new normal. And then even if you haven't reached your ultimate fat loss goal yet, which realistically most haven't by this point, we're taking a break from dieting to reverse the natural downregulation of your hormones and metabolism that we experience when dieting and ensure, again, we're keeping you in a healthy and responsive place. And then finally, from here, we're again kind of going back to what we were doing in the first few phases where we're methodically increasing your food intake to the upper end of your maintenance intake, which will have you feeling very well fueled. We'll have more dietary flexibility. We're going to reduce mental diet fatigue and really will continue to improve our ability to build muscle. And here we're really back to pulling the muscle building lever for body composition. So I would say really the key things we want to address in this phase, why we're moving to this phase next. Again, we want to ramp calories back up to the upper end of maintenance to reduce any physiological fatigue, to restore biofeedback, And really, again, make sure that our psychological drive to continue to push hard is in a good place. And we want to add more tissue with better fueling.
This is also this, the, all of these you've noted like a range of timeline here. So none of this is exact, but this is about a year in at this point. And I think that that's helpful to point out, just because I'm sure everybody has heard the phrase, like, you underestimate or you overestimate what you can do in like 2 months and underestimate what you can do in like a year or 2 years or whatever the phrase is. I think that some people are coming in being like, okay, 3 months from now, I'm going to be shredded. I'm going to have so much more muscle. But really, like, if you look at what this client avatar has done within a year, they've gotten their habits into a better place. Their biofeedback is in a better place. Health is better. They've built muscle. Even during that phase, they've gotten a little bit leaner. Same thing with the fat loss phase, but now we're shifting it more toward the fat loss aspect. So they've gotten even leaner still, gotten their diet, their calories back up to maintenance. So like holding that leaner, more muscular position with their calories back up, like that's a lot. It's a lot of stuff within 1 year.
And you're probably still in like the best, and this is going to for sure be the best body composition you've seen probably ever. The journey isn't over at this point, but yeah, it's a dramatic improvement. And that's the thing here. I lay this out to where, in the ranges I say, as far as like, hey, this phase is 12 to 14 weeks, the lower end of the range, if you go with every phase is the shortest it could be, that's exactly a year. But that's a good point to make as well, where realistically, a lot of these phases are going to be longer than this still. So from there, from after that reverse diet phase, our fifth phase would probably be a lean building phase. And in this case, also considering like this isn't an extremely long time for a lean building phase, again, we're also really considering the fact we've built a lot of muscle through that fat loss phase. The reverse diet phase is also kind of that 6 to 8 weeks of the reverse diet phase, plus the 12 to 14 weeks here. Realistically, we're still looking at like a good 5+ months of building total. But even then, like a true like building phase, especially for a more advanced client, we want to be longer than this. But again, in this client's case, this is a little bit more realistic. Again, especially considering we kind of combine that with a reverse diet. Because really this lean building phase is almost a continuation of what we started focusing on in that reverse diet, where this is where we're really going to see peak training for performance from you. We're going to be making lean gains and really focusing on optimally fueling you. I would say this phase is where we really start to get the best of both worlds. And again, we're pretty deep into, we could very well be a year in by this point, but we're really starting to see you're in a place where you're leaner than ever from the fat loss phase, but also get to experience how much food you can eat while maintaining that lean physique when you're truly training properly and fueling your body the right way. So we're in this place where we're leaner than we've been. We've had more muscle than we've had. And especially towards the end of this phase, when the exceptional physiques I see with clients will really start to come through, because you'll stay lean through this phase. We'll still be in a lean, healthy place where you feel great, but you'll have really hit your stride in your training by this point. And when we combine that with optimal fueling, a well above average amount of muscle will really start to come through. Again, this is, and again, I think that for a lot of people, this is like about a year in where we'll start to see like, damn, things have really, really started to come together from all the work we've done so far. So key things that we'll address in this phase with the avatar client, it's really maximizing muscle growth. So pushing extremely hard in training, oftentimes pushing intensity and volume in training more. And again, really making sure that you're fueling yourself well. That brings us to our final phase, which is going to be a fat loss phase. This could be 8 to 16 weeks, I would say, is pretty realistic here. Now, this is where everything kind of comes together. This is shredding season. And this is probably where we are getting to that like longer term physique goal that the client had when they initially started. So again, for a lot of people, this is one of the most fun, most rewarding phases yet. It can really feel like a culmination of all your hard work. At the end of it, you'll be as lean as you'd like. And thanks to all the time not dieting, by focusing on fueling yourself well and building muscle, you'll have completely changed your shape over the last year. And again, for most people, this is kind of like that initial goal that I set, that like way off in the future, that big goal that I set. This is a lot of times like, hey, we reached that. So I'd say for a lot of clients, when it's like I establish like a photo shoot goal for like a year or a year and a half from now, this is oftentimes like, or there's like that vacation that's like way out in the future, or my wedding. This is oftentimes like that thing, and where we really establish or reach that initial goal, And then from there it is, okay, now we need to establish like, where are we going next? What's the next thing we want to accomplish? But thanks to the way we've approached this, you're in this place where this, again, given we didn't get extremely shredded, which I want to be realistic, where it's like, hey, we got ripped, and we're below a sustainable body fat, there is a point where there is a level of leanness below which is sustainable, and we may need to add back body fat. But typically, this is the point where it's, hey, we're here, we feel great, but also this is something that is, you're in a healthy position, and this should be easy for us to maintain. And yeah, that is really the phases. So before we dig into kind of wrapping this up, anything else you want to add to all of that?
I think just for anybody listening, just like showing how patience helps so much with all of this. And I know, like I kind of said this a minute ago with overestimating what you can do in a short time, but there's even a lot of these phases where I'll encourage clients to push them out even further than that. Yeah. And the longer you can delay gratification, usually the better the result is at the end of this. So just it's a long-term process. It takes a really long time. Whenever I set my I'm setting a photo shoot goal for next spring-ish. Mm-hmm. And I started working toward it in November. And I'm like, is that going to be enough time?
Yeah.
Do I need to push that out further? It takes a really long time. But I know that like this is super cheesy, but that time's going to pass whether you're working toward it or not. And at the end of that time period, you're going to wish that you had done things the right way versus just like constantly chasing that next 3 month thing that you're wanting.
Yeah. I think it was you who I heard say, time is a valuable thing. Watch it go by as the pendulum swings. I'm just on that note. Though that is, again, like with the phases and the time frame for the phases, this was very conservative still, because I wanted to, in a way, try to be able to like make this fit into a tidy box of like, yes, if we go on the very low end of each of these, it fits into a year. Because if I would have said like 14.5 months or whatever, just weird timeline. But that's a great point where, again, very realistically, these could often take a good bit longer than this still. So from here, again, next week, we're going to be starting a deep dive into each of these phases that we discussed one by one, talking through a lot more of the specifics of tools, strategies we use there, what it looks like, things we're focusing on as a coach, adjustments, and things of that nature. So I'm really excited to get into that as well. Now, again, I know this is a lot that we dug into, so I've really put together a nice little blueprint for any of the listeners. There will be a link in the show notes where you can just grab that, or you can just DM Andrea or myself and we will send that to you as well. But that is what we have for y'all for today. Finally, if you would like to just be guided through this, take some of the thought out of it, and just really make this from your end as clear as possible, click the link in the show notes to apply to work with us. And that's what we have for y'all for today.